Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is someone from the BBB. Now, you might have heard that. You might have said, what is the BBB? Well, today you're going to find out. So, Chris Thetford. Did I say that right?
You did indeed.
Yes. Vice President of Communications and Marketing.
Correct.
With the Better Business Bureau is here to talk a little bit about that and a whole bunch of other stuff. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
I'm thrilled, really. I haven't really seen you. Well, I've seen you on Zoom, but I haven't seen you since we had coffee about 2 years ago.
Yeah, right in the neighborhood.
That's right. Yes, right. We are neighbors.
We are neighbors.
Love the neighbor.
Before COVID.
Love the neighborhood.
Before COVID.
Yes, yes.
It feels like forever ago now.
It really does.
I was thinking about that. I was like, the last time I saw Nicole was before COVID.
And like the whole world has changed.
It has completely changed.
Chris, what is the BBB?
So the BBB is the Better Business Bureau, like you talked about. And most people can tell you, oh yeah, the BBB, but a lot of people can't tell you really what we do or how we do it, which is one of the reasons I'm excited to be here. So we can talk about that for a bit. So the BBB has been around here in St. Louis since 1917, so over 100 years.
I didn't know that. That's a long time. Wow.
Very long time, and it's sort of an interesting story. So it's the fifth Better Business Bureau founded in North America and was an offshoot of an organization called the Ad Club, which still exists. Which,
yes.
Advertising agency sorts of people belong to. And back in the early 1900s, there was a concern that advertising was becoming so untrustworthy that there was going to be no advertising industry anymore at all because consumers weren't going to believe anything that was advertised. So a group of people within the Ad Club came together and said, we need to bring a Better Business Bureau to St. Louis so that there can be standards for advertising, so that advertising can be believed. And we're going to do this ourselves as an industry, rather than needing government to step in and regulate advertising. So we're going to self-regulate,
right,
and business is going to regulate business to produce advertising that's trustworthy, that people can trust and believe in. And so that became the beginning of the Better Business Bureau. And the piece that's interesting in there is to this day, as we sit here in 2021, the president of the Ad Club still sits on the board of the Better Business Bureau.
Huh.
And the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau sits on the board of the Ad Club.
So it's like a nice, like, checks and balances.
It is. And that relationship has continued now for 114 years. And the connection between the groups has continued. So it's a neat story. And I think it's kind of a cool story when you think about that St. Louis was the fifth Better Business Bureau in North America. Today, there are 97 BBBs distributed across North America, with one in Mexico and some in Canada as well. And each BBB is an independently operating trade association in its own part of North America.
How long have you been with them?
I have been with the Better Business Bureau almost 15 years.
Yeah, it's been as long as I've known you.
Yeah. So I'm actually an attorney by training. Yep. I've got an undergraduate degree in English, and then I've got a law degree. And I practiced law for about a decade, went through some life changes, including adopting a couple of kids, and decided—
That's a life change.
Big life change.
Yes. Maybe
we could talk for many minutes about that. And decided I wanted to do something different. That for me, I needed to do something different, but I tried to figure out what that was and ended up at the Better Business Bureau. Didn't know a lot about the Better Business Bureau, and then led to doing communications work for the Better Business Bureau. And so my job sort of has evolved through the years at BBB, and we sort of found a place for me to use some of the skills that I had developed practicing law, and then I use those now at the BBB and tell BBB stories.
So full disclosure, you used to be on our board.
Delightfully so.
Yes, many moons ago.
I'm happy to tell anybody that. It's a great organization.
And we, as an organization, NCADA, which is now Prevent Ed, we had a longtime executive director named Ed Tash, who, as one of the, I guess, approaches to sort of legitimizing what we do and playing with the big kids, right? He pursued a BBB what's it called? A membership, a credential?
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. So we call it accreditation.
Yes.
So for you guys, it would be to go through our evaluation process to become a BBB accredited charity. And it is sort of a mark. I think Ed's right. I do think it's a separator. So we've got 20 standards that we evaluate charities against. And if charities meet all 20 of those standards, they can call themselves and hold themselves out to be a BBB accredited charity. And if you go to our website, you'll find information telling you that those organizations are a, you know, is a BBB accredited charity. Or if they don't meet all those standards, we'll also tell you which of the standards they don't meet. And they're not easy standards.
So no.
They're not in, I don't want to get too inside of baseball talking about it, but it's not just the basic things that we might think about, right? So when you talk about charities and you talk about better charities, one of the things that people usually go right to, Nicole, is they talk about, okay, how much money are they bringing in?
Yes.
How much money are they spending on programs, you know,
yes,
education versus how much are they spending on administrative,
yes,
whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That's certainly one of the standards.
Yeah, that's important.
It is important, but it's not all that's important. Do you have a board? Are you working and accountable to the board? Are you looking at issues of effectiveness? Are you measuring those sorts of things? So anyway, there are 20 of those that we measure all charities against to see if they meet those standards. And if a charity meets those standards, they become what we call a BBB accredited charity, which means you meet the standards. And like we like to say, we encourage people to give, but we want them to give wisely. So every time I'm in the media talking about anything having to do with charities, like just after these tornadoes this past weekend, right? So things pop up and people are asking for money, and it's important you work hard for your money. It's important that you give your money to somebody who's been vetted by an organization like the Better Business Bureau, who so that you feel comfortable knowing that your donation is going to be used appropriately.
You want to know that somebody who you are giving your hard-earned dollars to is going to be good stewards. And it doesn't mean that they're, you know, going to not pay their people very well and keep the lights off so they can give every money out, every cent straight out the door. That's not what it means.
Doesn't mean that.
But it means, are they good stewards? Are they furthering the mission? Are they? And so, and it is, I mean, candidly, I mean, it's a fee that we pay. So once we get accredited, to renew that, we have to submit paperwork every year.
To and be then, reevaluated, yep.
Yes, reevaluated, and then we have to pay.
Right.
I think, and all of my predecessors have believed also, that it's a really solid investment. And so now I'm on, I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's like a nonprofit committee,
right,
where we try to encourage other nonprofits to pursue BBB accreditation.
Right.
Because we feel like it is one more sort of stamp of approval,
sure,
to say that we do our due diligence.
That's exactly right. So we work with a group of nonprofit leaders like yourself who advise us and who suggest things that will be of benefit. So it is possible for a charity to meet all 20 of those standards, and we will tell people they meet all of those standards and pay no fee. There are a group of you who meet the standards, and in addition to that, pay a fee so that you can use the BBB accredited seal
on
your website, on your fundraising materials.
Yep.
You know, I notice them when they come through. And so that's where that comes from. And the reason for that is, you know, the BBB, just like all nonprofits, you know, it costs a certain amount of money for us to do the evaluation and to have people like me and to do all the things we do.
I believe it's money well spent.
Well, I'm glad to hear
it.
I think it's good. I think it's a mark for donors to be able to rely on, to know that there's been an outside organization that's looked closely at this organization.
You know, because I can tell you, you know, that we're so great. And yes, we have to do a 990 and that lives on the website, but most people don't look at that.
Right, and they're even written in ways it's difficult for people.
Exactly.
To understand, right?
They're like asking for you to just have your eyes glaze over.
And the other thing I think that's important for people to remember in the donor space, in the charity space, is I have, in 15 years of doing this kind of work, I've never come across a charity that has a bad mission. Every charity has a great mission. You know,
yes.
Educate students, eradicate animal abuse, protect battered women. You know, you can name all of them, and I'm not belying any of these. Every single charity, even the ones that I've been on the media before talking about that don't meet our standards, that are having some sort of significant governance problem, they all have great missions.
Yeah.
So if somebody's asking you for money, you need to know a whole lot more than their mission. You need to know more than that. You would want to know more than just the model of car before you bought it. You would want to do your research.
You would want to test drive it. You would want to hear what other people say.
That's exactly
And you'd
right.
probably look in the blue book or whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, right. Yes. And I was thinking
That's a great analogy, by the way.
Thank you. I was thinking on the way over here that one thing that BBB has in common with what you do is that one of the things that's really neat about the work that your organization does, in a word, is empowerment, I think.
Yes.
And in a way, that's what we do, too. So
yes.
We empower consumers, businesses, and donors to be armed with knowledge in the marketplace, whether that's making donations to charities like yours or whether that's hiring somebody to remodel their kitchen.
Yep.
Whatever it is, it's a source of information that's available to empower consumers. And the way that that works for us and has worked for over 100 years is by the support of, the financial support of, and volunteer support of ethically operating businesses and charities like yours, right, mm-hmm. who support the Better Business Bureau through your volunteer work that you do with our Charity Information Service Committee, but also through their financial support of Better Business
yep.
Bureau. So what they're saying is we believe in the public work that BBB does. We believe in empowering consumers here in the St. Louis region. We believe as an ethically operating business and charity that this is part of our duty, part of our obligation of giving back to the community. And then BBB takes that and makes sure that we fulfill our mission, which is to empower consumers and donors to make wise giving and buying decisions.
It's exactly what we do with teenagers, right? We're not going to tell them what to do. And even if we tried to tell them what to do,
It doesn't work. Raise two of them, it doesn't work.
Exactly. But we can give them the information and the skills to then empower them to make whatever decision they're going to make.
Yes.
You're not telling people where to put your money or don't use this contract or do this.
Never have once said that. Nope.
But you say, here's how objectively
sure.
they measure up.
Sure.
It's up to you.
Sure. So that's the way exactly it is. And most of that information, in the case of the Better Business Bureau, comes from other consumers.
Yeah.
So consumers.
I was just going to say, I think another thing that we have in common is our, I think, determination to make workplaces more recovery friendly.
Which is a really noble thing, right?
And hard.
It's very hard. But I think it's part of, from my perspective and from a leadership perspective at the BBB, it's also part of our emphasis on diversity and equity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
because diversity can be thought of in lots of different ways.
Absolutely.
Right? Including, you know, different aspects of life that people bring to
sure.
the workplace. Because, yes, they're a staff member or a team member, but they're also a human being. So let's recognize all of the stuff
sure.
that they're bringing to the workplace.
Sure. And understanding and creating workplaces where we understand that what our team members bring to the table in terms of who they are as human beings can actually be used to craft a really great symphony, right, of different sounds with different perspectives. If everybody in our workplaces walked through life in the same set of shoes, it wouldn't be this. We wouldn't have the same levels of success. We wouldn't attain the heights that we reach. You know, I know some of the people that work for you, they're just like different people from different places and different perspectives. And that's one of the things that we've tried to do at the BBB. And I think creating a recovery-friendly workspace is part of that. So one of the things I noticed from the beginning when I started working at the BBB almost 15 years ago was that as a gay man with children, that BBB was a fantastically welcoming and opening place to that story, right? And
mm-hmm.
and particularly as people heard the story of, this is the story of my family, right? This is the story of how it came to be that these two men were raising children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it humanizes people in that, right?
Absolutely.
And you can use all sorts of phrases, all sorts of words. You can take away the fear of the unknown. You can do whatever. I think the same thing applies to recovery.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So we eliminate stigma by being honest and understanding that some people face some challenges that other people don't.
Yep.
None of that is to say that people who face challenges with alcoholism or substance abuse or whatever their addictive behaviors are don't bear responsibility for management and doing the things that are possible for them to lead creative and productive lives. But employers can work within those spheres to create spaces where it's you can look at somebody and you can say, okay, I can see here that you've had some problems. Like, you know, sometimes when you've driven, perhaps you haven't been sober, according to the law enforcement agencies. Tell me about where you are now. Tell me where that is with you now, right? And how is your life going now? And what are you doing? Because certainly big beliefs in the power of redemption and the power of people to make dramatic change and to make choices that are different choices. And we don't want to foreclose opportunities for people within our teams, because people that face some of these challenges with substance abuse or addiction could end up being some of the best voices at the table because of what they've walked through.
Absolutely.
They could be incredibly strong people because of what they've had to walk through, what they've had to get through to get to where they needed to get. Whatever the situation is, that we can't overlook those as employers. And we're doing a disservice not only to ourselves, but we're doing a disservice to our teams if we do overlook those people.
Yeah. If we don't make room for diversity of thought.
Yes.
And again, diversity, when we're talking age, we're talking, you know, life experience, we're talking about kids, no kids, adopting, fostering. I mean, we have several of our team members who are foster parents, and that you want, I mean, that's a whole different perspective. And, you know, it also creates, I think, and underscores a feeling of empathy within the organization. Like, no, I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes. However, I know what it's like to face adversity, let's just say, or to have a family that sort of, you know, has stuff, because every family has stuff.
Absolutely.
But creating space at the table for everyone, including people in recovery, is critical. And so it might be, to your point, not hiring them because they have some stuff on their record.
Sure.
You know, it could also be giving them some space to go to a meeting if they need to, or to take a walk if that's what they need.
Whatever
it takes. Whatever it is. Exactly. Whatever it takes.
Right. And it takes the ability as a leader to put your feet inside of their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of the things that troubled me so much during the beginning of the pandemic were my team members that were walking through situations that I wasn't walking through. So, for example, people that were home all the time with small children, right?
Guilty. Yeah.
Right. And how difficult that was. So I made it a real priority in the beginning of the pandemic, and as we've gone through the iterations and the changes that we've gone through, thinking about how difficult it was on me, but then remembering how difficult it would have been if my boys had been 2 and 3, which was how old they were when they came to live with us, how difficult COVID would have been to navigate.
Mm.
And having, though, the obligation, I mean, the true obligation as a leader, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to work with a team of people to accomplish whatever your goals are, you have to have that ability, and you have to be willing to say, I need to put my feet in their shoes. Now, their experience, what they're going through, is different than mine. It doesn't mean I can't empathize. Mm-hmm. I have to empathize in order to know where they're coming from so that they can continue to be a productive member of my team.
Right. Chris, I could listen to you talk all day. I will. Here's what I will say, and this is a compliment. I feel like this is the most cerebral of an episode that we've had.
Is it?
I can tell that you're a former attorney. Like, you're very, like, I could just listen to you speak. Like,
well, I hope I didn't sound like just like a lawyer the whole time.
Not at all.
That's
no,
good. That you was, sound, I was like, I didn't want to sound like
no,
a lawyer.
No, you sound passionate and educated about quality and accountability. That's what you sounded like.
I'm a big believer in both of those things. So and I'll take that as a win.
That's a huge win. Your website, in case people are listening and they're like, how do I find out more? How do I get my nonprofit on the list? How do I figure out, you know, where do they go?
So the easiest thing to do is just to go to BBB.org and you'll be able to find us there. The biggest tip, Nicole, that I will share with people is if you're curious about what the BBB has to say about any charity, any nonprofit, any for-profit business, you want to know what other people have said, is literally just type in the name of the organization into whatever that search engine is that you're using and then put BBB after it. And it will immediately take you right to the link, for example, to Prevent Ed. You could put in Prevent Ed, BBB,
and then it would come up.
It would be your first search result would be the link to that, and then you could see how you guys are an accredited charity and meet all 20 of our charity standards.
Well, you learned something today, listeners. I certainly did. Chris, thank you so much
you
for
so
joining.
Much.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome back anytime.
I appreciate it.
If you like this conversation, if you want to learn more, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by Prevent Ed. Prevent Ed works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.